Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to Legends of the Dark Knight, only on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me in this trip to Gotham City is...
TFG and Mike.
And yes, this is the kickoff point for Batman Week here on GeekCast Radio Network, so...
And for those of you listening to this 5 years down the line, Batman Week ran from September 10th through September 17th, 2012.
Yes, 2012. So there's a lot of corresponding podcasts. There's three podcasts and multiple blog posts.
Yes. So, first time in Legends of the Dark Knight history that we will have two episodes released in 1 week instead of one episode released every month and a half.
Hey, schedules come up.
I know.
This time we're having a double dose.
Yes, yes.
With a smile.
We've got this one. We've got this is going to be coming out as soon as we record it. Episode 16 will be released on Wednesday. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday will all be blog days. The Bat Blog, which is something that Steve and I are doing. I'm doing four. He's doing three. So 7 days of Bat Blogging. Tara the Rising Star, who could not be here tonight. She had a previous engagement to attend to. She's going to do her Tara the Batgirl blog. She's going to do various things with that Bat-centric. And then Friday morning, GCR episode 39, the goddamn Bat... Shut up, cat.
Meow.
Lovely. This episode's going to go great. GCR episode 39, the goddamn Batman, will air Friday morning. It is myself, you, of course, Michael Powers, and JT from Saskatoon. All four of us are going to be talking about comics, animation, movies, video games, music, everything to do with Batman over the last 70-something years.
Yes, the all-inclusive.
Yes.
Who knows how long that episode's going to run. It's going to be a doozy.
Right now, I'm betting 5 hours, 10 minutes.
Depends on how long we can keep the other two hosts. I know you and I could keep going.
So yeah, that's the plan. The other plan is, not to take away from your thunder here, but the other plan for Legends of the Dark Knight is that by the end of 2012, we will have gotten through... BTAS, and we will have reviewed the movies. We'll take a little break in December for the holidays, and then coming in January we'll start Batman Beyond. So 2013 is shaping up to be quite a year so far.
Oh yes.
Got anything else you want to bring up?
No, not really. Just expect a ton of awesome Bat-tastic information coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hey! Who's in here?
This is the fourth identical poisoning this month. We've kept the victims alive so far, but we're not even sure what kind of poison it is.
Why don't you ask the woman who made it? Poison Ivy.
She was our first guest, but we ruled her out.
You mean she's still in Arkham?
No, she completed her rehabilitation 6 months ago. The board gave her a clean bill.
And now wealthy bachelors are being struck down by an unknown toxin. Sounds like Ivy's M.O. to me.
I don't think she's interested in single men anymore.
Hmm.
You haven't heard? Not only did Pamela Isley clean herself up, she also got married.
First up is House and Garden. A giant creature climbs his way up a building and enters an apartment through the window. It seems to know the territory well as it moves towards an abstract painting, tearing it away. A safe is revealed, and the strange being wastes no time disposing of the door and gathering its contents. The creature is interrupted by the owner, but is quick to knock him out cold and continue its way. The man loses consciousness while the creature's shadow recedes, exiting the apartment.
Oh my god. I've said it before in this show, and I'll say it again. The only thing to this point that Ivy is good for is teaming up with Harley. I just don't care for her episodes.
Yeah, something about her character just kind of irks me.
I mean, I don't mind the character, but it's just like, yes, I know she is one of the major Rogues Gallery members, but it just doesn't seem like it with the crackpot schemes that she tries to invent with these plant things. And like, Eternal Youth, I loved Eternal Youth. Eternal Youth was interesting. It kept you on your toes. It was great. Her debut in Pretty Poison, that was pretty good. It wasn't the best, but it was good because it debuted her, it gave her an origin. But everything else, unless she's teaming up with Harley, I just don't give a shit. This episode was just fucking boring.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't find any real reason for this whole, escapade to take place.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of interesting, some of the, falsifications in it, as far as, Ivy and being married or whatever, or Poisoned Ivy being dead. And
yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because as we're recording this episode, I'm also watching through Law & Order Special Victims Unit, but I just watched an episode of that the other day where a rape victim had, basically said it didn't happen. She moved on, changed her name, changed her identity, got married, whatever. And when I went and watched this back, I'm like, this is just like that SVU episode. All these lies and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And it's like, oh my god, I just don't care.
And it was interesting to see. I mean, I did like the fact that they had a decoy Poison Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
This episode.
Yeah.
While I may not be a huge, Poison Ivy fan at all, I, in fact, don't care for the character.
Yeah.
I did think that it was kind of interesting that they, did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then had her getting away. But, yeah, overall, I don't much care for this particular character at all.
Not really.
Jumping into continuity, in Poison Ivy's photo album, there's a picture of Harvey Dent when he approved the construction of Stonegate Penitentiary, as seen in Pretty Poison. There's also a photo of the Rhasis Valerius from the episode. Another photo depicts Ivy and Harley from their headline-grabbing crime spree in the episode Harley and Ivy.
Yeah.
The trivia, this is the last full appearance of Poison Ivy in Batman the Animated Series. She did appear in Harley's Holiday, but had no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
An issue of the later Batman Adventures Volume 2 comic series suggests that this is the last appearance of the real Poison Ivy,
and that the revamped version seen in the new Batman Adventures was merely another copy produced to keep Batman off her trail. Whilst she went into hiding for good, none of this was ever incorporated into the animated series.
I do not believe that in the animated series because of the simple fact that unless you're making a full genetic clone of Pamela Isley, a carbon copy would not have the history and the personality that Poison Ivy has with Harley in New Batman Adventures. So I do not believe that one bit.
But Hardak Batman was, you know...
Okay, but there's a big difference here. A plant carbon copy versus a, you know, genetically designed clone from Hardak. I mean, come on. There's a huge difference there.
I could, in any case, I could see that being pulled off. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can see it being pulled off. Yeah, there wasn't really any great quotes, in my opinion.
No, not even the plant creature. Keep driving or your neck gets a new air hole. That's dumb.
Yeah, I...
I will say... Okay, now there is one exchange that I do absolutely love now that I'm looking at him. Batman and Robin are in the Batmobile. But we're still in the dark. This is, you know, Batman, then Robin, and back and forth. But we're still in the dark as to who is behind this. You don't think it's the plant lady? All she wants is to be left alone with her husband and sons. Sons? Carlisle's two boys, Chris and Kelly. I know Chris and Kelly. I was in Carlisle's class when his ex brought them to visit last year. I thought Carlisle had custody. No. And here's another shocker for you. Chris and Kelly are girls. I did like that exchange.
Nice.
But yeah, overall, this one is just forgettable. Okay, normally episodes like this that try to do what it did will add character development or, you know, a finality to a character. Like, if a character's not going to appear again. But this did none of that. This just... It felt like a Law & Order cartoon. Honestly, it did.
Yeah, it didn't really wrap up a whole lot for not really using the character again.
Yeah.
I mean, other than a quick shot. But... Yeah. So with that, we'll be moving on.
Valiant effort, Stout Sentinel, but the game was ours before it began.
Time to fly.
Wait, gentlemen. So, what do they pay you here, Henry? $9, $10 an hour? A grand total of what? $4.25 a week?
Fox, come on!
Let's see, that'd be $21,000 a year. Can that be right? Here, in appreciation for services rendered. We won't tell.
Beats a gold watch.
It's business decisions like that that got you where you are today. Come, gentlemen, let us away.
Did you hear that?
Allow me.
Don't worry about me. Get them.
It'll be a pleasure. Hate to tell you, but the costume party's over.
You want me, Tweety Bird? Come on, then.
Robin! Stop!
He smells it.
Plan B, then.
Robin!
Late at night, three men wearing masks, a fox, a vulture, and a shark, enter an office building and bust open the safe. They subdue the building security guard, who is struck by the fox's posh speech and patronizing air. Before leaving, the fox even drops a stack of stolen cash into the guard's lap, citing his pathetically low salary. The guard throws it back in Fox's face, and just then, Batman and Robin arrive. The trio slide down and grapple to a nearby pier and jump into a getaway boat. Landing on the pier, Robin starts to give chase, but Batman yells for him to stop. Fox detonates a bomb between himself and Robin, throwing Robin into the water. Batman has to stay behind to rescue his partner while the trio's boat speeds away. Fox exults. See? I told you this would be fun. Oh, my God. Even Bruce Timm says this is the worst episode of Batman animated series. This episode just sucks.
I think I watched about that much of it before I passed out.
I mean,
I didn't much care for the episode, and it sounds like a bad bar joke.
It is a bad bar joke.
Well, I mean, three men wearing masks, a fox, a vulture, and a shark, enter an office building. It sounds stupid just from the get-go.
Oh, my God. The bad thing is, I think there are two versions of this in Batman Beyond. Well, there is one direct version, but then there's another version which can also be considered a terrible trio episode. But yeah, no, I mean, this episode just, it's a bunch of rich kids thinking they can get away with anything that they want to get away with. And that's just not cool at all. You know, there really is, there's no quotes. Two lines of trivia, which I've already stated. One, which Bruce Timm considers this the worst episode of the Bruce Timm considers this the worst episode of the entire DCAU.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Now, this could be a discussion point for us. Despite Bruce Wayne's hatred for guns, he is shown in the skeet shooting scene to be quite proficient with them. Now, yes, I know, Batman doesn't kill. Bruce Wayne hates guns because of his parents' death and all that. This one is so boring, I'm yawning through it. My question would be, you know, this says that he's proficient with them. Just because he hates them doesn't mean he shouldn't know everything he can about them.
Well, there's gun safety.
Yeah.
And for two, if he's fighting interdimensional gods, they come in handy. So is that it?
Yeah. There's not even any good quotes in this one. So I think, yeah, that's it. We're moving on.
Here it is, gentlemen. Enough kaboom to turn Gotham into the world's biggest pothole. What say we start the bidding at 1 million?
1 million!
2 million!
3 million!
5!
Gentlemen, please, don't insult me with nickel and dime bids. The man who walks out with this bomb walks out with Gotham in his pocket. Yours to pick clean or blow sky high. Your call. What am I bid?
How about nothing? Zero, zip, zilch, nada. My personal check for Bupkis, drawn on the First National Bank of Squadoob. Sorry, boys. This lot is sold.
You really should loosen up, dealer. Have a laugh now and then. That's so much more pleasant.
Alerting the public now would only cause a panic, Commissioner.
But if that madman plans to use the bomb, we've got to clear the city.
I can't evacuate 10 million people on your suspicions. We don't even know if the bomb's still in Gotham. Keep me posted if you find anything.
Next up is Harley Quinnade. The Joker steals an enormous bomb from a mob auction, plotting to make Gotham one big dent. Mayor Hill refuses Commissioner Gordon's request to evacuate the city, saying that they don't have enough proof that the bomb is still in Gotham to risk mass panic. Not knowing who else to turn to, Batman and Gordon plan to offer Harley Quinn, currently incarcerated in Arkham Asylum, a full pardon in return for helping them. Harley cheerfully and suspiciously accepts the offer. She first leads Batman to Joker's most recent hideout. Joker's not there. But Batman is appalled to find that Joker has the entire city under video surveillance. While he is looking at the screens, Harley changes into her usual Harley Quinn outfit, seemingly oblivious when Joker's hyenas attack Batman.
This is a pretty good one.
A prelude to like his JLU appearance of Wild Card. Videoing everybody and
I can definitely see that now that you mention it, but this really during this episode when he doesn't leave enough time to save her, this puts us on the path to Mad Love. This puts us on the path to getting to the story of what they are like in the relationship that Harley and Joker have.
Yeah, they're a pretty twisted duo.
Yep, they are. I like this one. I thought it was a pretty good Harley episode.
I am a fan whenever those two are in an episode.
Yeah.
I think that it adds more depth to the Joker's character having her around. I mean, while I do love the Joker's character on his own, I think that it helps having her around as, you know, her as the sidekick to him, because it makes him like a stronger villain overall. But she's also got, you know, as we've noticed, the same kind of freakish imagination.
Yes, she does. it's so good.
But yeah, I love this episode. I think it's funny that, you know, of course the Joker's got a bomb and, you know, they're playing Harley in a sense. Yeah. But yeah, and it always ends the same with the Joker. You know, he ends up laying on the ground. So, but yeah, it helped bring the two of them back together.
Oh, yeah, it so did. Absolutely. I guess you want to get into the trivia bits?
Oh, yes. Harley Quinn admits in this episode that, and here you thought I was just another bubble-headed blonde bimbo. Well, the joke's on you. I'm not even a real blonde. Nice.
That's funny.
This episode marks the first mention of Harley's origin. First, she mentions she was a doctor, and then later, when Batman reveals to Robin that she was a psychiatrist before joining the Joker, when Harley starts blanking out the names of their fellow inmates at Arkham, she calls them Lizard Man for Killer Croc, Hat Guy for Mad Hatter, and Puppet Head for Ventriloquist. When Joker and Harley embrace in the end, Joker says to Harley, "Baby, you're the greatest." That is a spoof of the ending of The Honeymooners when Ralph and his wife embrace in the end after their relationship getting back to normal.
Yeah, and I gotta say about that, as far as Hamill's performance, it was almost like he was channeling Ralph Cramden.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, they play off their characters very well of what they're, you know, using as a source.
Yeah.
Yes, and the piano player appears to resemble Fred Astaire. I have no idea.
No, it does a little bit.
There are several cartoonish gags in the episode, including Joker's parachute opening after the plane has crashed. This gag previously appeared in The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne. Mayor Hill's home closely resembles the house the Joker purchased in the episode Joker's Millions. Both houses are similar to the headquarters of the Justice Guild.
Yeah, that's most definitely a nod.
Like in The Laughing Fish, the end of this episode displays the Joker's unexplained ability to cheat death, shown when his plane crashes directly into Mayor Hill's mansion, yet he merely emerges from a nearby door, completely unharmed, even though he was in the seat nearest to the plane's front.
Yeah, the Joker cheats death throughout this entire DC animated universe until Return of the Joker.
Yeah. Well, from an unlikely source, one of his plans unfolds and, you know,
yeah,
bites the bullet, so to speak, with a shockingly great end. The quote, "How about a ha-hacienda," would be used by the Joker himself in Batman Arkham Asylum.
Very, very cool.
Yes. The quotes are funny, but...
You have to grab that second one.
What one?
Listen and listen good. You don't touch anything, say anything, or do anything unless I tell you. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You have to grab that.
I like that other quote. But what about all our friends, Ivy and Two-Face and Hat Guy and Lizard Man and Puppet Head? And what about them? Don't forget about your little pets. The babies. We can't leave the babies. I'll buy you a goldfish. Let's go. It's just comedy gold when you've got those guys. And I think it also helps that the episode was written by Paul Dini.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Because I think pretty much anything he writes is gold.
Yeah.
So, anything else on this one?
Nope, think that's it.
Then we'll be moving on.
For $200,000.
Bored. We've only been here 10 minutes.
10 minutes for you, 10 hours for me. I know it's for a good cause, but...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, this magnificent timepiece from the reign of Louis XVI. Who'll start the bidding at $400,000?
You gotta be kidding. I wouldn't use that for a doorstop.
Right on time, as usual.
I have a bid of $500,000. Do I hear $550,000?
Good afternoon. Have they sold the Louis XVI yet?
No. The bidding just started. How did you... I gotta see my optometrist.
I have a bid of $585,000. Do I hear six? Come, come, come. This is a one-of-a-kind item, ladies and gentlemen. Who'll give six? $600,000.
$600,000? I've heard that time is money, but this is ridiculous.
Like you said, it's for charity.
I have $600,000 from Mr. Bruce Wayne. Do I hear $650,000? Need I remind you, this timepiece was once owned by Marie Antoinette.
Relax, Dick. It's almost over.
You're not going to believe this, but I thought I just saw the Clock King. Well, he was there.
I have $650,000. Going, going, gone.
Blimey!
next up is Time Out of Joint. Bruce and Dick sit through a charity auction featuring an antique clock from the reign of Louis the 16th.
The 16th, yeah.
Meanwhile, Temple Fugit, the Clock King, walks up to the building. Amazingly, he disappears after pushing a device on his hip. He enters into the building, and the clock disappears as soon as it's sold. Outside, Fugit holds the clock and is pleased with the trial run. He then throws the clock into the trash and heads out into the night. A ghostly hand snatches the clock right in front of everyone's eyes. Later, Batman and Robin watch a security tape with Commissioner Gordon watching it in slow motion. They see that a hand appears behind the clock just before it disappears. This rules out the possibility of there being an invisible man and helps to confirm for them that Temple Fugit is behind the heist. Batman warns Gordon to watch the mayor, and the duo heads into the night.
Yeah, I like this one. I like the Clock King. He's a cool villain. You know, we've talked about on this podcast before where you have your, you know, low-level Batman villains, like, you know, just a regular mob boss or something like that, and you have someone like the Penguin, who is technically a regular criminal, but he's also part of the main rogues gallery, and then you have the actual rogues gallery of, you know, Joker and Two-Face and all that, and Clock King kind of fits right in the middle, but I would almost put him a little bit higher than the middle of where, you know.
I wouldn't put him down towards the bottom of the middle row of the guys, but I wouldn't put him in the top tier either. He fits nicely into that middle section.
Yeah.
Because he is enough of a threat that he could be in that top section, but he's not quite enough that he should be, I love this character too, just for the fact that he's very punctual and to say the least, and he's nuts about time. He's like got some serious OCD.
Yeah.
This is also kind of a nod to a episode in the JLU where Lantern and
Batman once in future thing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a low level time altering device compared to what is used later.
Yeah.
To do this pretty much the exact same thing. Steal shit. Yeah. But
you know, if they hadn't said that it was David Clinton with his wife Enid or whatever her name is, they could have so used an older version of the Clock King in Once and Future Thing, that two-parter. And now that I'm thinking about it, now that you pointed that out, yeah, I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that would have fit perfectly. I think it would have been even more sinister if they would have used the Clock King.
Yeah, but that episode...
But they didn't want to taint the Clock King, you know, by using...
That and the whole point of that episode in JLU is the fact that David Clinton is constantly abused by his wife, you know, talked down to, you know, verbally and all that stuff, so...
And then Batman put him in an endless loop.
Yeah.
What a nice guy. He doesn't kill him, he just causes him eternal damnation from his wife.
That's true.
But, yeah, I really did like this episode. I think that the whole device was a nice nod.
Yeah.
It's actually it's kind of fitting, though, that he would get a device like that because he is the Clock King.
Yeah.
And it for him to have the power over time, in essence, I think that's a really nice nod.
Yep. Very, very awesome.
Continuity. Temple Fugit continues his vendetta against Hamilton Hill for shown in the Clock King. Somebody just needs to lighten up. Batman rules out the possibility of another invisible man, likely a reference to Lloyd Ventrix, who first and last appeared in See No Evil.
Yeah.
The production inconsistencies, which we haven't seen in a couple episodes,
No.
Dr. Wakati is credited Dr. Wataki. Robin himself mispronounces the name in that way, and Batman has to correct him. When Fugit is making his way out of City Hall, he does not have his cane. However, once he's outside, it suddenly appears in his hand. It's a subspace time storage box. That's where he puts it.
Maybe it's a police box. Oh, wait, that's too on the nose for the British people. See, even though I don't watch Doctor Who, I can make Doctor Who references, damn it.
While the changes in the flow of time in this episode are most remarkably consistent with the principles of general relativity, there is an inconsistency when the Batmobile is frozen. From Batman and Robin's perspective, the Batmobile shouldn't stop advancing, but it should continue at a normal speed, while the other cars would, as seen in the episode, seem accelerated to streaks of light. The Batmobile would only seem immobile from an outside perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
Dr. Wakati claims his house is in a radio dead zone to prevent electromagnetic interference to his experiments. While it is certainly possible to be in a cell phone dead zone, there is no such thing as a dead zone when it comes to radio frequencies. The only way to block radio frequencies will be to build a Faraday cage. However, there could be factors in the area that interfere with radio reception. So take that, you technical nerds. Trivia. Batman's premonition of Fugit's survival and return following the Clock King turns out to be true, but Fugit's manner of escape from his seemingly inescapable death remains unexplained. Near the end of the episode, Batman speeds away at a normal speed with a bomb exploding in his hands. This trick would later be repeated by the Flash in the Justice League episode Wild Cards.
Yep.
See, we've had our second reference to that episode.
Yeah.
While by no means the first use of the term time out of joint was the name of a modern art exhibit disguising a more sinister device presented by the Clock King in a 1966 Batman episode, The Clock King's Crazy Crimes, I did not know he was in the 66 Batman.
It's been so long since I've seen any of those episodes.
But, now I have to watch that.
Yeah. The only way you're going to do that is if you get a cable package with the hub.
The only way I'm going to do that is by downloading it. I would buy it.
If it were ever available, yes, but...
Yes, if they ever made it available, I would buy it. However, it is not.
Oh my god. And whose life are you ruining now? A poor pensioner? A malnourished orphan, perhaps? I love Clock King.
I love this. The auctioner. Who will start the bidding at $400,000? Dick Grayson, you've got to be kidding. I would use that for a doorstop. And then the other one, Robin. You really think our guy will show up? Batman says, sure as night follows day.
That's funny.
And then they've got the Superman reference. Whoa, faster than a speeding bullet.
Yeah,
another good episode. So with that in the can, our last episode of the night.
Used to be just like you, a child of the night, wild and free. I was the cat who walked by herself, and the city was my hunting ground. I'd prowl through Gotham each evening, going where I liked, and take it whatever I wanted. I met him. gave him my best fight, but in the end, Kitty got her claws clipped. Had to promise I'd be a good little pet and walk on a leash. Even if it killed me.
And finally up today, we take a walk along the catwalk. While looking at an exhibit of a stuffed black leopard, Selina Kyle reminisces of how she used to be Catwoman. According to her, she was a cat that walked alone. Until she met Batman, she had to promise not to be Catwoman anymore to remain free. After her recollections, Selina looks at an exhibit of extinct animals. While she does this, both Bruce Wayne and Veronica Vreeland notice her. Veronica tries being friendly and explains that the museum's conservation hall has been built in honor of her grandfather, Stanton Vreeland. Selina is upset and counters by saying that Stanton was a trigger-happy jerk that caused the extinction of many of the animals on display. Upset, Selina leaves and leaves the museum claiming she doesn't fit in. I like this one. It's interesting. I think Selina's a little bit too emo in this, though.
It's not a bad episode. I'm not a huge Catwoman fan.
I like her. It just depends on what episode it is. Like, I loved her in Almost Got 'Em. I loved her in her other episodes that she's done. This one, it just felt like they were kind of phoning it in. It didn't even feel like that mini movie or that movie of the week type of episode that they normally feel like. It's not an overall bad episode, but at the same time, there's nothing really. It's almost like it's Selina versus Veronica, pretty much. I forget. Is Veronica... I know Veronica in the series is redhead. I'm trying to remember if the other Veronica is dark-haired or if she's... I don't know. If you replace Selina's... You rename Selina Betty, it's Betty versus Veronica.
Oh, wow.
that's funny. I don't know. Alright, as far as there's no continuity bits, but there are a couple of production there's one production inconsistency here. When Scarface is speaking to Catwoman in the control room, Ventriloquist is using both of his arms to move Scarface's arms, yet Scarface's mouth is still moving. That's a little strange. Some trivia here. We got Scarface makes reference to Tweety's famous line, I taught a putty tat. I love that. the repeated phrase of the cat who walks by herself is a reference to the Rudyard Kipling story, The Cat That Walked By Himself. You've got a bunch of uncredited appearances in this one. The mayor, Harvey Bullock, Isis the Cat, Jim Gordon, Muggsy, Montoya, and Stanton Vreeland. I do like this exchange between Scarface and Selina. Ho ho, she's a live one. In 2 seconds, that'll be more than I can say about you.
Nice.
I like this one. It's not a Catwoman episode that I can really go back to and watch all that often, but when I did watch it back for this, I did enjoy seeing it. It's not the worst episode we've talked about today, but it's not the best either.
No. And that's kind of sad to say,
yeah,
based on who wrote it. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
With that, we'll be going to a commercial break with some quotes and be back after that.
Legends of the Dark Knight. We'll be back after this. You can now hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smart way to listen to radio.
Are you ready to have your dreams worked on? That's right, Beyonders. Season 2 of Tooncast Beyond is coming soon, and we will be talking all kinds of films from DreamWorks Animation. We'll have plenty of DeLorean Time episodes as well, so tune in August 1st, 2012, as TFG1 Mike, Optimus Solo, Steve Megatron, JT from Saskatoon, Sketch 1984, and more bring you the next season of Tooncast Beyond. You can find us on iTunes and on GeekCastRadio.com.
In the morning, I'm making waffles.
Donkey, shut up and leave me alone.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
We now return to Legends of the Dark Knight.
And we're back. So, on a rating scale, what were your five for the night?
Well, I know which one is the worst, but that's a given. That episode should just be thrown out altogether. Terrible Trio is the worst. It just is. No one in their right mind... I don't care who you are. If you're a fan of this animated series, if you're a fan of Batman and anything, you can't tell me that you sat through through Terrible Trio and enjoyed it. So that gets the bottom for me. House and Garden would probably be next, followed by Catwalk. And then Time Out of Joint would be second, and then Harlequinade would be one, as far as the best.
Okay, and mine would have to go in this particular order. Terrible Trio is the dumpster diver.
Yep.
House and Garden would be my next. Catwalk, I'd probably put kind of... I would put it a nod ahead of that. Time Out of Joint is really good, but I still have to say Harley Quinn is my favorite of the night.
Yeah. Yep, so. Pretty much.
So, that about wraps it up. So, thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you would like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. First, you can visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you were leaving the message for and your name. Be kind of a fan of us on Facebook by searching GeekCast Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter at LOT Dark Knight. My Twitter name is at SCP21. What are your Twitter name?
TFD and Mike.
You can also contact us at our email address, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Join us next time when we discuss Bane, Baby Doll, The Lion and the Unicorn, Showdown, and Riddler's Reform. So now I'm for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with...
JFG1 Mike.
Saying the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman. Thank you for listening, until next time.
This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.